Today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel. We got to the bottom of Tzadi Beis, or Beis, and we were discussing about marrying someone before they actually got before the chalitza was done. That was the last thing we had done, and Rabbi Yochanan wanted to bring a raya from that case that we see from there that one's not allowed to marry Shomer Yavam. Someone's a Shomer Yavam. She's a woman. She's a widow. And she has no children. She's waiting for her brother-in-law to perform either Yibum or Chalitza. The person wants to say, I'm going to marry you on the condition that you get Chalitza from your brother-in-law. So the halacha was, it's not a good condition. So Reish Lakish says, the only reason why Rabbi Yochanan was able to explain that was the vort was that there's an Isser for Shomeres Yavam to get married was because we started discussing this situation. Reish Lakish said, had you not said that was the reason that there's an Isser for Shomeres Yavam to marry somebody else, I would have said, now this is, let's go to the bottom now, four lines to the bottom of Tzadi Beis on Beis. We'll repeat this again, what we did yesterday. Amar le Reish Lakish, you see that? Amar le Reish Lakish, ilav de kalsach gavar rabba. If you, have we not praised you as being such a great person, haba mina lecha, I would have said, ana masis and Rabbi Kivi, the author of the Mishnah who says you cannot get married to someone who has not yet got the chalitza, who's not yet been released from the bond to the brother-in-law, I would explain the reason to be, the amar ein kiddushin tofsin b'chayvi lavim. I would have said he goes according to the opinion that thinks Kedushin's achal, when there's a lav involved, Kedushin's achal. And that's why he can't get married to her. Via Rabbi Kiva, so Gemara says, wait a second, if we're going to entertain this possibility, Reish Lakish says it's the world of Rabbi Kiva. I Rabbi Kiva, ki amar le la'acha sheyachlotz l'cha yivamcha litvos b'kedushin. Wait a second. If Rabbi Kiva is the author of this Mishnah, so it should be the following, that if you attempt to get married to someone and say, listen, this Shomer's Yavam, she's again a woman who's waiting for the brother-in-law to perform Yibam, that I want to marry you once you get divorced, once you get the Chalitza from your brother-in-law, it should be a good Kedushin according to Rabbi Kiva. It shouldn't be Asr. It should be a good Kedushin. Why? Rabbi Kiva understands the following. He holds that Davar Shelo Balilam, something that has not yet come into this world, a one may be Makna, normally Paskin, Ein adam makna davar shelo balilam. A person normally cannot be makna something that doesn't exist in this world. And we'll see examples in a moment. But Rabbi Kiva has a unique sheet. Well, not unique. He has others who agree with him. We'll see in a moment. Rabbi Kiva is one of the opinions he holds. A person may be makna davar shelo balilam. So the very fact that this woman is still connected to this yavam, she's still waiting for him to release her. It's a davar shelo balilam yet. It should still be a good kinyan according to Rabbi Kiva. You should be allowed to marry such a woman before she gets the chalitz even. How do we know Rabbi Kiva holds this way? The Tanan, the Mishnah says, going on to Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph now, the top of Amud Aleph, Konim Shani Ose Laficha Ein Tzarech Lafer. Konim is a lashon of a neder. A person could take a neder and say, this is aser to me, this table is aser to me, this food is aser to me, or maybe I could even say, if it's mine, this is aser to you. So Rashi explains, top of the Tzadi Gimel, Konim Shani Ose Laficha, Isha Shamar Labaila, a woman, a wife says to her husband, Ma Shani Ose, whatever I do, any of my actions, Malacha Yehe Ose Laficha Bekonim. Any money that I make, anything that I weave, anything that I bake, is also to you. That's what she says to her husband.
Why she says such a thing?
But now you should realize. So, so if she says such a thing, so the halacha is that the husband's allowed to be mefir the nether. He could cancel out her nether. He has one of the benefits that he has within 24 hours of her making the nether. He's allowed to say it doesn't work.
It says in the Torah.
Exactly, it says in the Torah. So this type of heter, there's no need to make this type of nether. There's no need for hafaras nedarim. Mimela, it gets nullified. There's no need for this. Why? Says Rashi. Ain sarach l'hafer, he doesn't need to be made for it because it doesn't get off the ground even. Kevan decha mishab de le, says Rashi, l'mais yadea. Since her mais yadea already mishubah to him, he has control already of that. Lo matzin nidra, she has no control to say that her mais yadea are going to be asur to him. They're not hers. She's just acting simply as an evid, almost a shivcha of his, and she has no rights over what she does. So therefore, it just gets thrown out the window. Kamazong Rabbi Kiva argues and says, no, Rabbi Kiva Omer Yefer, you're supposed to be Mefer. He has to do the Hafaras Nedarim within 24 hours of her declaring the nether. Why? Shema Tadif Alav Yosim Haroilo. Because she might do more than she's supposed to. What does that mean, says Rashi? Shema Tadif Alav, the Tanan, the Gemara Ksubas tells us, the Mishnah Ksubas tells us, Mahi Osela, Mishka Chameshlam, Shtevichule. It says that how much money she's supposed to make. But tfei lo mishab. This only a certain amount of money is mishubit to her husband. Her husband provides her mizona, so she has a very basic job. So that basic job all goes back to him. But let's say she has a very prestigious job. She gets a very high salary. That doesn't all go back to her. She's making $5 million a year. That's not all going back to the her husband. Tfei says Rashi tfei lo mishab dele. More than that amount, that basic amount, does not go back to him. She keeps it. Umehadafa, says Rashi, the extra, the surplus that she makes, chayal neder, the neder's chayal on that surplus. Vafagabda dain lo nasas hamlacha. So says Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says that you should be made for the nedarim because it's possible she's going to make a surplus, and that surplus is not meshubah to the husband. So that's her own. So she does have the rights to be meshubah, to make a neder on that extra money. That's why he says the husband is supposed to be made for the nedarim for the extra money. Wait a second, says Rashi. Rashi says, but it's not in this world yet. How can we mak nedar shelo bi'olam? How do you have the right to do that? The money that hasn't been acquired just as of yet. So it says,
Why it's not in this world? So now I'm a big agent, real estate agent, and I'm going to make a sale. I made the sale, and I made $5 million. Konam sheni yoselefanech.
Right, so the idea is you're not allowed to be. Right now, we're assuming Nedarim and Kinanim are the same. So Nedarim works similar to a hektesh, let's say. You can't be mak Nedavar Shilo Baliolam. So how could
but
she.
It came to the world.
No, it didn't. She didn't do the work yet. She says, from here on in, any work I do is going to be hektesh.
Okay.
We neder. It doesn't exist. So we see there, Rabbi Kiva must hold that a person can be mak, and a person can make a neder on Nedavar Shilo Baliolam. So just like he holds there, that a person can be makner or neder davar shelo be'lialam. So to hear in the case of chalitza,
she made it nigh, you can make it nigh too.
Exactly. Even though she hasn't yet been chalitz yet, if you will, the chalitza hasn't been performed yet, you could still be makner, mekadesher, on condition that she will, in the future, get the chalitza that she wants. So that's what this is all, again, in the world of Reish Lakish's Havmina. In the end of the day, the Yeshayahu Gemara tells us, the reason that the marriage wasn't good, it was not because of davar shelo b'olam or not, it's because of there's an issur for shemesh yavam to get married. But now we're in the world of davar shelo b'olam. Okay. So the Gemara says, ha itmar la, it was said on this, amr of hunab reid rav Yeshua, bo meris yiktishu yidei lo same, diadaim isne ba'alma. No. Pshat in this sugya here, this mishnah, nothing to do with davar shelo b'olam. It wasn't talking about being makdish the future transactions. It was talking about being makdish her hands. My hands are going to turn to gold now. My hands are gold. My hands are going to actually be usher. Anything that my hands create will be usher. So it's a din in the hands. The kedusha, the netz chal in the hands, which are isnal be'alma. They are in this world, and for that reason, the nether is chal. So it's not proof that Rabbi Kiva hold a person's makdish davar sholo be'alom. This is a case of ba'alom. It is in the world. The hands are in this world, and not a rye that Rabbi Kiva holds that way. Then the Gemara says, "Pligid Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak." Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak argues. Dumber Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he holds the following. There'll be a number of Rabbanim's name right now. He holds as follows: Rav Huna Krav. Rav Huna holds like Rav. Rav Krabi Yanai and Rav Yanai Krabi Chia. Rav Chia Krabi Rabbi. Rabbi Krabi Meir. Rabbi Meir Krabi Elazar Ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov Krabi Akiva. Dumber Adam Shmak and Davar Shelo Bel Lialam. So it's a clear statement. The Rabbi Akiva does hold of Davar Shelo Bel Lialam. The person may be Maknei. So you don't have to interpret Rabbi Kiva's opinion to think it's talking about being makdish the hands that are in this world. No. There's a clear statement of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that Rabbi Kiva holds Adam makne davar sho lo bi'olam. And on that list is six different Rabbanim who all hold that way, like Rabbi Kiva, that person is makne davar sho lo bi'olam. So now what the Gemara is going to do for the remainder of the daf is find where each of these individuals, each of these Rabbanim that we just mentioned, they hold makne davar shelo ba'lilam. A person may be makna something, even though it has not yet gotten into this world. So one by one. Rav Huna Mahi. Where do we see that Rav Huna holds this way, that other makna davar shelo ba'lilam? So it holds as follows. The Gemara appears in Bab Metzia that Hamocher Peros Dekel Lechaver. This is the classic case of davar shelo ba'lilam, or might be davar she ba'lilam. What is the case? Person sells fruit of his dekel, of his date tree. Lechaver, I sell David my fruit tree, dates that are going to grow. So Rav Huna comments on this. Ad shlo bal yalam yachol achzer bal. So let's say the fruits didn't grow yet on my tree. Either one of us, can be chozer. Rashi doesn't tell us which one, but I think either one can be chozer that Yeah, I want to pull back of this agreement we have. It's no longer going to be kona to you. Find the seller, because there's no reason for the lokeach to go back, because why not? But the mocher said, you know what? I'm on out of this deal. As long as the fruit has not yet grown in this world, I'm allowed to be chozer. But mishabolyam, once the fruits are growing, ein yachalachas, where I can't retract anymore. So what's pshat in Rav Huna? How does Rav Huna say this? So says Rashi, look at Rashi, mishabolyam ein yachalachas, but once the fruits grow, I can't be chozer. Once the fruit, the dates begin to grow, the sale is chal. So why should that be? I say to David, let's make a deal. Give me $100 and I'm going to give you all the dates that grow from my tree. So the fruit don't grow, I can retract. But once the fruit grow, the agreement is binding. But why? When we made our statement, it didn't exist in this world yet. How is it binding? Once it grew, we have to make a new declaration of what our agreement is. The fact that there's no need for another declaration, another statement of our agreement, tells us that it is chal on condition that it grows into this world. But the moment when we stated our agreement, there's nothing in the world yet, and that we see from Rav Huna, it is chal. Then comes along Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman argues, Amar af mishabol li olam yachal achzerbo. He argues, no, even if it comes in this world, once the dates grow, you're still out to retract, because that which we said, the agreement that which we made, there's nothing in this world for it to be chal on. And even when they grow in, it's not going to be chal retroactively in our agreement. We have to restate what our agreement is once the fruit grow into this world. So clearly Rav Nachman holds, ein adam machna davar shalom be'al yalam, as opposed to Rav Huna says it is machna davar shalom be'al yalam.
When started with Rav Huna, I'm sorry.
He was the first one.
Right,
exactly. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, though I agree, Modina, I do agree to you, though, if, let's say, David goes ahead, Nachman felt that it's not a good kinyan, and we have to restate what our agreement is once the fruit grow. But let's say we don't restate it. You go ahead and take my dates. What you keep is yours. I can't pull them away. So even B'dieved, he acknowledges some type of agreement was made, even though it was when there's nothing that exists in the world yet. And B'dieved, it is chal. Okay, so that's where we see Rav Huna hold of Adam Machne Dever She Lo Bal Yolam. Then the Gemara wants to know Rav, Dama Rav, Rav, where do you see that Rav holds this way? Dama Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Ha'omet L'Chavero, Sadazu Shani Lokech, So he says the following statement, that I say to David, in this field that I'm going to buy, I will buy, when I buy it, it will be then sold over to you. And that's going, as long as I say, me'achshav, it's going to work. How does that work? I didn't buy the field yet. I didn't buy the property yet. How am I able to sell it to you right now if I didn't buy it yet? So they want to bring a ride from here also, that Adam Machne Davar Shelo Bal Yolam. Now, even though it does exist in the world, this one's a little bit different. It exists in this world, it's just that my relationship to this karka doesn't exist just yet. But again, I can make such a deal. I'm going to buy the property, and when I buy the property, it's going to automatically go to you, and it will be chal. That's how we see Rav holds that way as well. Okay. Then the Gemara says, there's a whole long tosis which we're not going to go into about the need for me'achshav. Interesting tosis, but the long one, but keep it in mind. Then Rabbi Yanai Rabbi Chia, where do we see that? That Rabbi Yanai Havale Arisa, he had a sharecropper to have a maisile kansa de piri kol mal shabasa. He would bring a kansa de piri. What does a kansa mean? A basket?
What does Arisa mean?
Arisa is a sharecropper. A sharecropper is a worker. Let's say I own a farm.
A
sharecropper. What it means is I own a farm. I'm the owner. I'm the landlord. And I hire a sharecropper. He's that type of farmer who's going to work the land, and we're going to split some of the proceeds. He's going to work it, and he's going to take a certain portion, and some of the portion goes back to me. That's his rent he gives to me.
Crapper?
I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Crapper.
Yeah, they share the crop. I imagine that's where it comes from.
Crap.
So crop. Crop is tua, right. So he works the land, and then anything he makes, there are different ways to split up. Sometimes they'll split it, like, let's say they'll be percentage-wise. I'm going to get 30%, you'll take 70%, or whatever it might be. Others will split it that you give me a set $1,000 value, and anything other than that you get to keep. So whatever agreement they had, the sharecropper used to bring what's a concept, does it say? A basket of fruit. Every Erev Shabbos, my sharecropper, or Rabbi Yana's sharecropper, would bring him a basket of fruit. Hahu Yoma, Nagale. One Erev Shabbos, it started to get dark. Blasa. And it did it got and he didn't come. He didn't bring my fruit for Shabbos. Shakal Eser Mipiri de Beisayo. Elio. So what happened was, remember what happens when you bring the fruit into the house, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael apparently, you have to take Meiser, Trumos, and Meiser. And you can't take Truma and Meiser on Shabbos. So what'd he do? He says, wait a second, Shabbos is coming, and if he brings the fruit now, I cannot take Truma and Meiser on it. So I'm going to take Truma and Meiser now, fruit, I'm going to set aside 10% of fruit, of what he's going to bring me, even though he didn't bring it to me just yet.
Yeah.
So, also, Lekame Derbichia. So he went in front of Rebichia. He told him what he had done. And Amalei, Shapri Avdus, you did very good. That was a very good eight that you did. You took the Truma Meiser now, before, even though he didn't bring the fruit over to your house yet. Ditana, the Brisa tells us, Leman Tilmad Lira Es Hashem Alkecha, Kol Yamim Elu Shabbosos Yamim Tovim. So Rashi explains, Leman Tilmad, Gavi Truma Meiser Ksiv Vachaltil Fnei Hashem. It says by Truma Meiser, you're supposed to eat in front of Hashem. And Kol Yamim Elu Yamim Tovim Shabbosos, says Rashi, Havi Lamed Lizayah Shlo Yivatil Onek Shabbos Bishul Tikun HaTeva. So we're saying here in this context, where's the whole pasuk on the side here? The whole pasuk says, "V'chalta l'fnei Hashem alkecha b'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shemo sham." Ma'aser digancha tiyorshcha v'itarcha v'choris pekarecha v'tzoncha. It says you're supposed to eat ma'aser and many things. V'leman tilma liyira es Hashem alkecha koyamim. In order that you learn to fear Hashem in all your days. So pasuk pshat of this pasuk is that you're supposed to. I think it's referring to ma'aser sheni in particular. And this is the raya that ma'aser sheni. What's the reason why we go ali l'regel? Ma'aser Sheni, why do we go to the base of Migdal to Yerushalayim to eat Ma'aser Sheni? Ma'aser Sheni is the only Ma'aser that has to be brought to Yerushalayim to eat. So I think it's a Tosos in Baal Basra, and there might be a Sefer Chinuch that writes, the reason why is, why do you have to go to Yerushalayim? Because you're supposed to learn. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sara. So since the source of Yerushalayim is the source of Torah, we're supposed to go to the Yerushalayim to learn.
So why Ma'aser Sheni?
I'm not sure why that particular one, but Ma'aser Sheni, we have that din. By Bikurim, we have that din. Aldi Rega, we have to go. So we have a few times throughout the year we're supposed to go. I'm not sure why particularly. I'm sure there's something deeper. But we go several times throughout the year in order to learn Torah from Yerushalayim. That's Pashup Shad, the Pasuk, I believe. The drush that they're making is, Leman Tilma Liras Hashem Alkecha, Kol Hayam, and what's Kol Hayam mean? Kol Hayam refers to Shabbos and Yom Tov. That you're supposed to fear the day of Hashem, fear Hashem on these days, that the Onik Shabbos, the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, should not be ignored in light of Tevel. So Lamai Helch, so what does that mean exactly? So you're allowed to, there's an Isser Tevel, it's a Chiyah Misa. So you could eat Tevel on Shabbos. The mitzvah of Onik Shabbos is going to be Docha, the Chiyah Misa of Tevel. So Gemara is going to explain.
Did give Meiser?
What?
Did give Meiser?
No, so he's going to explain in general. Let's say a person didn't give Meiser.
Oh.
And I guess we're going to bring it back to our case. So what's Lamai Helch? So what halacha is, are we learning from the Pasuk of? These are the days of Shabbos of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "L'mai hilchus on the bottom of tzadik gimel lamed aleph." Now, ilema lasurei umechel. If it's telling us that you're allowed to take ma'aser to eat, say, so you know what? Don't let tevel stand anywhere in Shabbos. And if the pasuk is telling me take truma and ma'aser and then eat it, this way there's no tevel anymore. It's shechkol l'mishrei tilta d'rabbanan. What do you need a pasuk for? What's the issur of taking truma and ma'aser? Truma and ma'aser is tikkun mana. You're fixing the tevel. There's no malach involved in that. You didn't cut anything. You didn't create anything. You just removed you fixed the fruit now, tikkun mana, which is only an iser midirabanan. So we need a pasuk to tell me you could violate an iser dirabanan. The Torah obviously predated the dirabanans. Let's just look at Rashi in the bottom of the Tzadik Gimel Malaf. Sorry, that bottom Rashi, just to say it clearer than I'm saying it. Rashi writes, let's go to the Mai Hilchasa verse. Mai Hilchasa, Ma Asa Krol Azure. What's the pasuk coming to tell us to warn that? Including the pasuk about the Meiser is Shabbos of Yom Tov. If it's telling us to take Meiser on Shabbos and eat now it's no longer Tevel. Even though Shabbos you could do a tikkun. Pshita, it's obvious we could do that. Do we need a pasuk to tell us to violate an Isra Dirabanan? Hafrashis Meisos b'Shabbos Einu Ela Mishum Shavus. The Shavus is Din Dirabanan. To take Meiser. The Tanan Elohein Mishum Shavus. The Mishum Beta tells us the following are examples of a Shavus. Lo Magbi and Shumas and Meisos Masachas Beta. And the classical example is not taking Shumas and Meisos, but it's only an Isra Dirabanan. V'Heicha Asalan Kreh. How does a pasuk forbid us Tiltu Ba'alma D'Itzrich L'Mishay Hacha? How is the Torah going to forbid an Isra Midrabanan? It doesn't make sense, obviously. The Isra Midrabanan didn't exist at the times of the Torah. So that can't be what the pasuk is referring to. Ella says the Gemara going to the top of Tzadi Gimel Merbeis. Ella lav ki agavna is not this very case, says Rashi, the top line. Ella lav ki agavna demutu la'aser ha'mashal ha'boli olam va'asid lavol l'tzarech onig Shabbos. It must be a situation that you're permitted to take Meiser on something that has not yet come to your Rishus. Yet it's a davar shelo ba liolam, and it's eventually going to come. The purpose of onig Shabbos, one's allowed to do this.
So to do before it's there, but while it's there, it's so.
Say it again.
While it's there on Shabbos, it's not allowed to mafrish masaot.
In general, you can't because it's a midrabanan. But if it means that, let's say you have no food, your only food is tevel, and you're going to eat nothing, then you're allowed to, of course, violate the Issa Midrabanan in order to enjoy the Onig Shabbos. That's one point. What the Pasuk, that can be the Pasuk. The Pasuk can be telling us you could violate an Issa Midrabanan, because it's obvious you could violate an Issa Midrabanan. You don't need the Torah to tell us that to Mekayin the Mitzvah. Right. But let's say it this way. Rather, the Pasuk is not going to address an Issa Midrabanan, because that's not on the Ritz. The Midrabanan didn't exist by the time of the Torah. The Torah knew everything, of course. The Torah does not give us a Terim for Issa Midrabanan that are going to happen in the future. So that can't be Pashup Shad of the Torah. So what's the Pashup Shad of the Torah? It must be that since Onig Shabbos is so important, you're allowed to be Mafrish Chumas HaMayisos, even though the fruit hasn't come to your possession yet.
So you do it
for the previous case of Onig.
Yes.
So perhaps it might be maybe an issue, right? Maybe. But now let's forget that case. That's not this case. The case right now is where has to be talking about something on a deraisa level. So Gemara says the pasuk's being mechadish us that you could take chumas and maisos for the purpose of owning Shabbos, even though the fruit didn't come to your possession yet, since it's going to come, even though it's davar shelo bal yolam, a person may do this.
Yeah, but you can find a few problems with that type of action as well.
Yeah.
Many, if you think about it.
Yeah, what do you have?
Meaning, how can you mafrish something that, you know, maybe you'll get something else? The amount of it.
What do you mean? How much to take, you're saying?
You do not know how much you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
So how do you know how much to take? Mm-hmm. You don't know what type exactly you'll get. So is what you're giving out now, is that considered myself from that? I thought it's myself from...
Right. In terms of the min, I'd imagine he knows what you know crops he has, what he's bringing. So he probably knows which min to take, but I could be wrong. And in terms of chuma, by the way, Yeah.
Just thinking that sometimes it's a cooler in order to do the right thing. Even though that if the Gemara will discuss such a case and we'll try to go deeper into it, so we'll find million and one problems in such an action.
Right.
Like they do.
Right. No, you're right.
But he knows the guy's bringing a basket. Now, if the guy brings two baskets.
He knows.
Yeah, and if the guy brings two baskets.
Is it Navi?
No. Every week the guy comes.
So what?
All right, so now the guy brings two baskets. So then he can't eat. Then he can only eat what he, 90% of of one basket. He can't eat the
what
two
about bits. What about the fact that the guy brought, you know, a big basket, you know, in the great week, and he was only mafrish half of it, so now it's all mixed. I don't know, you know.
Right, Joe, but it is possible. Let's say he does take Meiser, and he brings a different crop. Maybe in Hanami it wouldn't be mutter to him. He hedges his bets, and he picks that fruit from each of the different mins that he has in his house and hopes he brings the grapes and the apples and whatever else. There's an interesting question you're asking about how much do you take. So when it comes to chuma, the shear of taking chuma could be any amount. You can take one piece of barley or wheat, and that's enough. Midrabanan, they say take 1/50th, 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th are advised, but even one amount of chuma. Meister is more exact. How do you know the 10%? I don't know how it works in terms of Meiser, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be more exact than Chuma. It's a Medin Deraisa, the 10th. So I don't know how you measure that. Another problem that Tosis points out, as you're saying, there are questions here. There's a lacha that's supposed to be collected from Minamukaf. For you to take Chumas and Meiser, it's supposed to be all together in one pile, then take from Minamukaf. The fruit are somewhere else.
Yeah.
So he goes into the whole halachas here of Minamukaf, which we're not going to read through right now. Okay, so... Either way, so we see from this story of Yanni Rabbi Chia that it worked davar shelo bal yolam. Now, what it seems that right now, it's not best to do this. The Torah only allows you to do this b'di'evit in such a case. But in the end, it does work, though. It's not by the other cases, it seems that l'chachila, a person could do mimak nedavar shelo bal yolam. Here it sounds like only b'di'eved could you rely on this concept. That if they never showed up and then you're stuck on Shabbos without anything to eat, then you can rely on this setup.
As burin,
what? Sorry. But only right, b'di'eved, it works. But it just, I'm just pointing out, slightly different is b'di'eved versus l'chachila.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it does work. So the Gemara says, wait a second, is this really good? Amar lei v'ha akrin b'chalma kanaratz. It's very interesting. But didn't he have a dream that night, Rashi says, Leil Shabbos, that night he had a dream of a kanaratz. A mikra echad v'shmo kanaratz. He had a dream of a pasuk that's called kanaratz, and a kanaratz is what, like a standing bee, a standing reed or something. Right? Is that what they say it means?
Splinter.
A splinter. Okay. And
splintered reed.
Okay. Splintered reed. Okay.
Splinter. The kanez on the riverbed.
Yeah, reed. I thought exactly. A splintered is that split. So the splintered reed. So sounds like my love. What did the dream mean? My love, hachi kamarle, hinei betachta lecha al mishenes hakan haratitz. So the pasuk says, the pasuk in Malachim, that you relied, betachta, you had betachon, mashantas, you relied on a splintered reed, which is very weak. Sounds like the basis for this take wasn't good, exactly. So the Gemara says, Allah, lo hachi kamar lecha. This is what it meant to mean. It's a different pasuk. The pasuk gets found actually in Yeshaya, kan haratitz. Lo yishbor upashakeh lo yichbena. A splintered reed will not break, and
if it's for
the truth, okay.
That's the end of the pasuk.
Right. Rashi quotes the end of the pasuk. I see. Right. Lames yotzi mishpat d'shaper avdus. So you did a good thing. So it was a different pasuk he was referring to. You did the proper thing, and that was a proof of what he did. Interesting that he's based in the dreams. In general, we say. I think lo marid lo ma'alin or something that divrei chalomos have no meaning to them, but we find many places in Shas actually that they're meaning.
Not in time.
No, but in the Gemara, there are Gemaras that say, I think in Gemara Sanhedrin, maybe in Brachos also, that chalomos mean nothing. Other times you have that chalomos have meaning to it. So it's interesting sugi in general where the chalomos you could make use to bring a halacha or to bring a rai for something.
Until today, you have a tarat chalomos.
You have such a concept, you do. But let's say, could you pass on halacha based on that? Are they considered divrei nevios? Is it lo b'shemayim here? Is it chalomos?
When was the last time you had a dream about a pasuk?
Right.
I think maybe that's a different kind of dream.
It's true. But the last night I happened to have a very, very weird dream about a woman doing hagba. That was very strange.
Did you ever see one?
A woman do hagba? No, but no. I was yelling at the guy for many reasons. A woman can't do hagba, but I don't know who authorized it. So you're right. But either way, there are Gemaras that say we don't listen to Chalamos, and sometimes the Gemaras say do. So there's a fascinating sefer called the Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah is a Rishon. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Huda Chassid. Sefer Chassidim has a number of the interesting monogam that we have. Like, you can't close up a window in a house. You can, and two brothers can't marry two sisters. So one of the Rabbi Huda Chassid's children was the Or Zeruah. Now, the Or Zeruah named his sefer the Or Zeruah because he had a dream. What was the dream? He had a shayla. He's a Rishon. This is hundreds of years ago. He had a shayla. How to spell the name Akiva. When it comes to a get and a ksuba, more importantly, a get has to be written exactly. The names of the people, the name of the place has to be very exact. How do you spell Akiva? Is it with a hey at the end or with an aleph at the end? We're all going to say it's with an aleph at the end because it always is spelled with an aleph at the end. If you look at the Yushalmas, actually, oftentimes they're with a hey at the end. So he wasn't sure how to write it on a get. So he had a dream. Or is a rule at tzadik, uli shalev simcha. The sofei tevos of those words is ayin kuf yud vez he, or Rebbe, or Zeruah, ayin tzadik kuf lishrei yud lev vez so he spelled it with a he. So since he had that dream, he named the sefer Or Zeruah in light of that pasuk. That's the name of the sefer. I think he writes this in Safdama. So we find sometimes that we rely on dreams. Sometimes we don't. But interesting sugya. Okay, the Gemara now says that's how we know Rabbi Yanai held of such a concept of Adam Makna Davar Shelo Baldil. Now, how do we know that Rebbe holds this? Because Rebbe was also on that list. The Tani, the Braisa teaches us Lo Saskid Eved El Adonav. Okay, so what does this mean? So Rebbe Omer Belokech Eved Al Manas LeShachro Hakasam Edaber. Rebbe says. You're not allowed to, like Saskir is to like, close up, to lock up an Eved to a master. So what do you mean you can't lock up, you can't buy an Eved? So Rebbe says it's referring to a person who buys an Eved. He buys it on condition that he's going to free him. So in such a case, if he buys it on this intention, I'm not sure if he has to articulate this or this is simply his machshavos, but whatever the details are, if he buys an eved on condition of freeing it, he's not allowed to enslave him anymore. Heichidam, he says the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak dechasiv lei lichshakcha harei atzmecha kani lecha me'achshav. He writes him a little document, a little paper. That he says to him, here, gives it to the eved, that if I buy you as an eved, you're free. So the eved's holding this document, his freedom's in his hand, and he buys him. And then, mimela, he has a document of his being freed. So the question, of course, is, how is it possible to do this? How could you write him the get shichur? The get shichur is the document that frees him. How could you write that if you haven't yet bought him yet? So Elamai, we see that Rebbe holds a person can be machna davar shelo ba liolam. Now the Gemara wants to know Rebbe Meir. How do we know Rebbe Meir holds this way? Rebbe Meir Omer, Rebbe Meir did sign the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that appears in Maseches, Kedushin, I think. Kedushin, I think, is the original place. So, says the Mishnah, Omer l'isha harei at mekudeshesli, says to a woman, you're going to be married to me, la'achash es gayer, after I will convert. Right now he's not Jewish. So when I convert, we'll get married. But we're going to do the Kedushin now. La'achash es gayer, or after you convert. Or lachashish tachra, or after I will be freed. I'm an Eved Kanani right now, but when I get freed, the marriage will bichal. Or lachashish tishchachari, until after you get freed, you're a shivcha Kananis right now. Or lachashimus balecha, he engages the woman and says, we're going to get married on condition once it's going to be chal, once your husband dies, very nice. Lachashitamus achosecha, or let's say he's married to a woman and he wants to marry this wife, his wife's sister. You're not allowed to marry two sisters when they're alive. Even if you get divorced, the woman, you can't marry a sister. But if the wife dies, you are allowed to marry a sister. So he does an engagement to his sister, says, once your sister dies, then you and I will be married. Or la'achashiyachlots, or she's a shemesh yavam, she'la'achashiyachlots li'yivamcha, then once the yavam performs chalitza, then you and I will be married. All those cases, eino mikudeshes, that's according to Tanakh Kama, because you cannot... Each of these cases, you're missing a very crucial thing that doesn't yet exist. But the Rimeir comes along and Omer, Mikudeshes. It's chal because a person may be Makne Davar Shelo Ba Liolam. And 1 second. Okay, interesting. Let's look at this Tosis for a second. Tosis, we have plenty of time, it seems. Tosas asks a very interesting question. Vim Tomar, Damar beperakam the Gittin, the first parak of Gittin says, "Daf yud gimel amar beis afilu Rebbe Meir damar adam makne davar shelo balyom." Even according to Rebbe Meir, who in general holds a person may be makne something, hani mili le davar shebolom, only if the actual object exists in this world. Aval davar sheinu baolam lo, if the object does not exist. So let's say a decal of pears. Decal of pears is a classic example. I want to be makne to Harry now all my fruit on my tree. The tree exists. The fruit don't, but the fruit are just an extension of the tree. That's a chesed in the world. But let's say I have no tree. I'm going to say to him, when the tree grows and the fruit grow on the tree, that's going to be all yours. Okay. That, the chesed is not even in the world yet. So that mayor would agree that it will not work. It has to be the chesed in the world. Now one could argue, I think it's a discussion, the fruit may not be in the world either. That's a different discussion. But let's right now, as this example, at least, the fruit are viewed as an extension of the tree. Since the tree exists in the world, I can be machne this even though the fruit are not in the world. Since the object of the tree are, it works. But if the object is not in the world, even Rabbi Meir agrees, the kinnin won't work. So according to this, that when the object doesn't exist, the kinnin doesn't work. V'hash to ask Tosfos, mehecha d'shamina le davar shelo balyom, haynu l'acha shetiz gairi, shamina nami le davar shelo balyom, kigon l'acha shetiz gairi. Wait a second. This person is a tinok, dami. A person who converts is a completely newborn person. It's as if they were reborn and they didn't exist. So even though the actual physical item is in this world, the person's in the world, but since he converts, he's a completely new person, a new creature now. It doesn't exist in the world.
But
so right,
Mary, is there.
Right, so that's going to be the answer, I imagine.
It's going to come, even it's a new thing, form a new...
Right.
Tipasuch, I don't know what to call it. It's there. But the potential is there.
But the question shows Tosis' understanding of how much Geirus is a completely new creation.
Genius.
So Tosis answers, Vomari, de lo chashu la'achashe eskayer lo balyom. It's not considered, once he converts, he's not considered that he never lived in the world before. Lo balyom kokach. Kem shaguf u balyom, rak shem echos u geirus. But by other cases, in the Gemara and Gittin, hasm noldin lo balyom klam. And Meir in the geis when the child isn't born yet, physically wasn't in the world yet. Geiris is very different. Yes, a geiris is like katan shenol adami, but the guf is there. When a child isn't born yet, that's mamish, not in the world yet.
What happens to the debts of a ger?
The debts of a ger.
The debt?
He has a debt. And he's a ger. Now suddenly he's a Jew. I'm a new person. I don't know you anything.
I never thought about it. I never even saw that, I don't think.
I believe that he still owes.
I would think so.
Yeah, of course. The neshama is the neshama, but physicality, you know, it's gashmius. Like the goof.
I would imagine also, but I don't recall a discussion of this.
Now he's elevated, you know, in spirituality, but...
He's very elevated. All his debts are gone. He's floating.
As free as can be.
He's in a great place.
That's a good question, though.
Okay. Let's go weiter now. Says the Gemara. We are two wide lines down in the Gemara on Amud Beis. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov now. How do we know he holds also Davar Machne Davar Shelo Bat Li'olam? The Tani, the Brisa tells us that Yesser Al-Kain added on to the previous discussion. I'm not sure the context of this discussion. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he says, Afilu im Amar Peros Arugazu Tulushim Yehu. Chuma peros aruga mechubarn. Even if a person says that this patch of fruit that have been detached from the ground are going to be chuma on the fruits that are attached to the ground, he says, peros aruga mechubarn, or this patch of fruit that are currently attached to the ground will be chuma al peros solution, will be a chuma on those that which are detached from the ground. Nichshaviu shlish v'yilishu, v'yiu shlish v'nilishu d'varav kayamim. So he says that when the shlish, the messenger, goes ahead and detaches them, and he brings them, or he goes ahead and he takes the detached ones already, it all works. How could that work? He's talking about attached versus detached. The attached ones, there's no chiv chuma yet. I'm saying that's attached to the ground. Only once the fruit have been detached is there a chiv chuma. There's an iser tevel kick in. How does it work? So it sees that, so apparently, Britain can be makna davar shelo ba liolam just yet. Okay, then Rabbi Kiva holds, as we know this already, the Tanan Konim Shani Ose Laficha Eino Tzarech Lehafir. We saw this already, that if a woman says that any my Maisi Yadav are going to be Aser to you, it's not Chal, you don't have to make for Nadarm because she has no rights over her Maisi Yadav, her husband has full control. But Rabbi Kiva Omer Yefer, you're still supposed to do the Hafaris Nadarm, Shema Tadif Alav Yesem in Haroilo. She might make some surplus that year, and that money will be available to her, so therefore you have to do Hafaris Nadarm. So that ends the discussion of round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think 6 or 7 different people who hold Odom Makne Davar Shalom B'Olam. We pointed out some say L'Chachila, others say B'Dievid. Might be different whether it exists in this world or doesn't exist in the world. So obviously a very, very large discussion. Mar asks, now we're going back to the discussion of Eid Echad and Yivamos and Agunas and saying a husband dies overseas. Bai Minei Mirav Sheshes Eid Echad B'Yivama Mahu. What's the halacha if the Eid Echad testifies that the husband dies? But I think it's talking about where the Eid Echad himself is the Yavama.
What? The Eid Echad is what? Oh, he's the brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, maybe not. Maybe not.
That would be nice. He's the Eid that his brother died.
Okay. The question is, so normally we talk about an Eid Echad, there's some trust that we trust in Eid Echad to allow her to get married to somebody else. But do we leave the Eid Echad to allow her to get married to a brother-in-law? That's the Shiloh. So the Gemara says, let's understand time of the Eid Echad. Why by Eid Echad in general do we believe the Eid Echad in this case? Mishum demil sadavi deligluye lo mishaker. Because Eid Echad, if it's something that he's going to be caught on, it's something that's public information, it's very easy to be caught in lying, he's not going to lie. So it's a concept that we throw out in terms of Nemanus, that Milsa David Lagluya, we trust him on. So we trust him, so here it's also, Hachanami Loma Ashak, he's not going to lie. If it means that she's going to be Mutter Teru Yavim, why would he lie about something that could easily be proven wrong? So he must be trusted.
Some Dilma. Bad people out there, you know.
Right, there are some bad people out there. Oh Dilma, or perhaps, time with the Edecha, the reason why we trust the Edecha in general, at least in this case of the overseas, the son overseas, Mishum Di'ihi Daiko Minsava. because she's Eidachad, she's going to just get her thinking. And she's not going to entirely trust, but then that's going to get the ball moving. And she's going to do some heavy research. She's going to do all the searches she can, and she's not going to get married. And then we're trusting her. That's what comes down to trusting her. But v'hacha came to Zimna and Rachman alei lo daika umintzver. But here, since she has somewhat of a relationship, this is her brother, you know, in law. You know,
she likes him.
They have a good relationship, so she might fall in love with him. It's her brother's husband, her husband's brother, rather. So maybe she's going to jump the gun before doing the proper research. So maybe we should not let them get married. That was the Shiloh. Those are two tzedakim. So in response to this question, Amr Lahu Rav Sheshes says, Tanisua, I have a Mishnah. Amr Lahu, our Mishnah in Perek Asiri of Yivamah says, Amr Lahu Meis Banecha V'chakach Meis Balecha. So they say that your son died and then your husband died. That means you were childless when your husband died. That means you're promoted to your Yavam. V'nisyavma, and she has Yibam. Then they say, they're actually the opposite way. I'm sorry, your husband died first, then your son. You were never permitted to marry your Yavam. Your Yavam, the children are Aser, or Mamzerim.
What is the first, the Valad Rishon?
We spoke about that yesterday, right? So you were in here. So ignore that case right now. It's we discussed it yesterday, not necessary for now.
I understand what it is. I just try to in reality.
The Mishnah, the Gemara said, there's no real reality. By this case, there's no Rishon Achron. They only use this Lashon Rishon Achron because of a safer case.
If she's married to somebody and they have a kid, and the husband died, and she mitiyavim, that means that the kid that she had is a mamzer. No, it was previous, so that's not the Rishon. They're not referring that to the Rishon.
No, it turns out that her husband died first, and then her son, so she was never permitted to her yavam. Any children she has from Yavam.
So which Valad is Mamzer? Not the one that died.
No, not the one that died. No, the one from the Yavam, exactly.
Ah, okay.
Right. So hey Chidami, what's this case here? Ilei Matrei Utrei, if it's a case where two initially said that the husband died, and then two other Edom said that your husband's still alive, my chaz is the Samechahani. Why are we relying on the second set of Edom? Maybe we should rely on the first set of Edom. How are we able to make them get divorced? She has two Edom who support what she did. So it can't be a case of trey or trey, where two of them first said that your husband's dead, and then two of them say that your husband's alive, because trey or trey, it should be just neutral. Od, mamzer, and then we're also going to call the children from the second marriage a mamzer. It's a suffix mamzer. We don't know what the truth is, a husband alive or not. It's a suffix mamzer. So it can't be a case of trey or trey. V'chitema lodak, if it means they weren't so careful in the presentation, but it really meant to say, I guess, suffix mamzer. Is that what it's suggesting? Okay, and really it should have been Suffolk Mamzer, you're right, but they just weren't so clear in the words. Well, not true. V'hammi d'kasani seifa arishon mamzer v'achon eino mamzer shema mino dafka katani. The fact that the seifa had the case of rishon is mamzer, achon isn't, tells us that the Mishnah is being very precise in its use of words. Why are we bringing a proof from there? The fact that the Brisa distinguishes between a mamzer versus a mamzer, the Mishnah could have also distinguished between a mamzer and a suffix mamzer. The fact that it didn't distinguish that way tells us that the Mishnah was being very exact. By mamzer versus a mamzer was exact, and mamzer was also being exact. It means vada mamzer doesn't mean suffix mamzer. So either way, we throw that possibility out the window. It's not a case of tre tre. So what's the situation we're talking about? Elalav shma mino achad. It must be where one aide came along and said your husband died initially, and yet still, the time of Dasu Beitrei, only because two people came along, Achshe had said, no, your husband's alive still. Holav Hachi had those two Eidim that came along, Hachi Memin, they were believed. I mean, we trust Eid Echad to allow her to perform Yibam with the Yavam. That's what comes out from this discussion. So that's the proof that Sheshes brings from this mission. Seventh Gemara says, Ikadami, should we do the Ikadami here? It goes well into the next stuff, I think. Get started. Let's see. Igadami, another version of this discussion. Halo tibay lecha dafili ihinami mhemne. This was never a Shiloh. Because even she herself, even the wife herself, is believed. Ditznan, the Mishnah tells us later on, towards the end of the Masechta, Ha'ishish amr meis bali, a woman says, my husband died. Tina says she's allowed to get married. Meis bali tisyabim, if she says my husband died, she could do yibum. So she herself is believed to perform Yibam based on her words. So it wasn't a Shiloh of certainly Eid Echad, who's not her. She's she obviously has negias, and yet she still believed. Kiti baylecha. When was the question about kiti baylecha the mishra yivama la alma? The question is, we to trust in eid echa to say that your husband died, you can marry the rest of the world. When it comes to the yibum, that's okay. So my timer, the eid echa. Why is eid echa believed? Mishum demilz the David elagli lo mashaker hachanam lo mashaker. In general, we believe eid echa here because since it's something that he could be caught lying on, he's not going to say a lie, so we trust him. So what does make a difference whether permitting her to the Yavam or permitting her to the rest of the world? It's either way, Yavid Gluye. Oh, Dilma, or do you say, time of Dedechar, Mishim Dehi, Daikamin Savei? Hello, Daikamin Savei, Min Savehu. Maybe, but the reason why we trust Edechar is because once Edechar says, wait a second, I think your husband died, it's going to force her to do some research. And she's going to be very, very careful before she gets married. But here, by the case of, so when it comes to marrying her Yavam, she's going to be very, very, very careful about that. Why we should be careful about this case? But here in the case,
because she hates the Yavam.
In this case, so we're still talking about in terms of the Yavam, yeah? Now we're trying to figure out, the question is whether she's permitted to marry anybody else in the Shuk, I thought the question is. Oh, because she hates the Yavam. Ah. Oh, I see. She doesn't have a draw towards the Yavam. She's nothing drawing her there. Only if she does the proper investigation will she be willing to marry the Yavam. But someone else, who she might like more than the Yavam, that she could very easily just get married to her, and then we're not going to trust her, because she's not going to do the proper research. That was the Shiloh. The Sanilev, right? That's the top word in the next line. Because she hates the Yavam. It's her brother, it's her husband's brother. They don't get along so much. All their brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. All this fighting. So the Gemara says, should we read through quickly? Because it's all going to be pretty much the same way we just did before. Let's read down to a little. We're going to read really quickly, just to like eight lines down. So Amrulei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes brings the following raya. Tanisua, the Brice, the Mishnah tells us Amrulei Meis Balecha, your husband died. V'acharkach Meis Mincha, then your children died. V'nisis, then she gets married to somebody else in the Shuk. V'acharkach Amrulei Chiluv Hadvar. It was opposite, really. Your son died, then your son. You have to divorce because you were not allowed to marry anybody else, so you were stuck to your Yavam. If it's a case of 2 versus 2, why are we trusting the second set of Edom? Trust the first set of Edom that your husband died first. It's only a suffix. We don't know that's a valid mamzer. Let's say the mission wasn't so precise. It really meant suffix mamzer. But the Seifa says Harishon Mamzer, Hachon Einu Mamzer. We see the Mishnah is mechalik between Mamzer and non-Mamzer. Shmamina Dafka de Katani was being very, very precise in its use of language. It must be talking about one aid. The time of the Asu Beitrei Achushe, only because the two aidim came later to go against the Chad aid, do we make them get divorced? Hot Lav Hachi Meman, we will believe the one aid to allow her to get married to the Shuk, and that's the Raya for the Ikedamer. So we'll stop here, and Mi'ez Hashem tomorrow will pick up Li'olam as a new clarification of what that case might be.